And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of The Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. It is great to be with you again today. Of course, this is Friday, and for some of you, this is the start of the weekend. I hope you're going to enjoy yourself, go to church, worship God, have a great time with friends and family, get a little rest and relaxation in. And because it's Friday, of course, we're going to try to get to the lines early and give you a chance to bring up anything that maybe you wanted to talk about earlier in the week and didn't have a chance to, or some of you who called in and got in toward the end and didn't have a chance to get to you. I want to make sure we get as many calls in as we can today. You're listening, of course, to The Awakening here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, E.W. Jackson, and thank you all for your prayers, your support. Don't forget to tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell somebody that they can listen to our programming on their smartphone, their iPad, their tablet, their laptop, their desktop, or their gaming device that has internet service on it. And that they can also listen to the programs after they've aired by going to our archives, our podcasts. Go to our website, afr.net, and just click on the program, and you can hear today's program. Well, it'll be later this afternoon because you can hear today's program, but yesterday's program, day before, you can go back and check out programs that you think might have been important or something that you really want to hear again or that you want somebody else to hear and share with you, and make sure that they have that opportunity by telling them about our podcast on our website, afr.net. Well, today, folks, there is good news and there is bad news. The good news first. The good news is that our economy created 145,000 jobs this past month after a record 246,000 jobs last month. And we are just humming along, folks. We really are. According to reports in Moody's, we are at 3.5% unemployment, the best unemployment rate in 50 years. 50 years, folks. Average hourly earnings in the private sector went up by 2 cents just in the last month. Average hourly earnings for all employees on private non-farm payrolls rose by 3 cents just in the last month. Retail trade added 41,000 jobs. Building materials added 7,000 jobs. What else? Oh, my goodness. This is good news. The labor force participation rate, the number of people considered out of the labor force declined by 48,000 last month. Folks, this is all very, very good news for our economy. And you know, we got to figure out how to thank President Trump, who's providing the leadership that's leading to this virtually unprecedented growth and economic activity. So what shall we do? Let's see. How can we thank President Trump? Oh, I know. I've got it. Impeach him. Of course, impeach him. That's the way to thank him. Of course, that's the way to say, Mr. President, we really appreciate the great economy that you're presiding over. We appreciate the lowering taxes and getting regulations out of the way and stopping the environmental craziness that has inhibited our oil production and getting us to be oil independent as a nation. And here's how we're going to thank you, Mr. President. We're going to impeach you. Now, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, right? Sure. I mean, after all, Nancy Pelosi did say that this great economy that President Trump is leading is bringing us to the end of civilization and the planet. Wow. You know, I want to thank Nancy Pelosi for this, because I just didn't know that a record low unemployment, adding hundreds of thousands, millions of jobs since this administration took office, increasing wages, increased labor participation, oil energy independence. I didn't know that these things were so destructive. I really didn't. Here I was, dumb me, thinking that these were good things. But Nancy Pelosi has shown us, hasn't she, that no. What the president is doing is destroying civilization and destroying the planet. Folks, I got an email. I won't give her full name. But I got an email from Debbie, and she commended me about the program and said that she really enjoyed the program. But she said, you've got to, there's a little bit too much name calling. Now, I wasn't aware that I do name calling. I do occasionally describe people as idiots because some of these leftist elites and the stuff they come up with is truly idiotic, and it does qualify them. But that's not name calling in my view. That's really descriptive because Webster's Dictionary describes an idiot as a fool, a stupid or foolish person. And I have to say that the stuff these leftists are doing are both stupid and foolish, which qualifies them as idiots. Now, we don't do vulgar name-calling and that kind of thing. And occasionally something might slip by us, but not normally, because my studious and diligent producer catches those things on those rare occasions when they might happen. He catches them before they even hit the air. And so often I find myself responding to or apologizing for something that you all didn't even hear. But we don't really do name calling on the program. But you know what? This is a reminder to me that anybody who thinks that this president is destroying civilization and destroying the planet does qualify as an idiot. And that would be Nancy Pelosi. So when you open up Merriam-Webster's dictionary and you look up the word idiot, finding her picture there would be perfect context. In other words, how can you use this in a sentence? Nancy Pelosi is an idiot. I mean, if that's name calling and offensive to anybody, I just want to say I do not apologize because I think it is completely and totally accurate. So that's the good news. The good news is that the economy is humming along, and no matter what people like Nancy Pelosi and her ilk may say about how horrible things are, and Joe Biden running around, oh, this is terrible. The people, the American people, are not really benefiting from this. you want to say, which planet are you talking about, and which universe do you live in? Because it's clearly not the same one the rest of us occupy. So that's the good news. I guess you could call this bad news in a sense, but it goes right in line with, wait a minute. Oh, before I get to that, the real bad news. Are you all ready? Are you all ready for this? I'll tell you, I have to take several deep breaths before I even say this. But apparently, Meghan Markle and what's her husband's name? the royals are splitting up, and some of them are going their own way. And apparently, Meghan Markle, the Duchess of Sussex, and her husband, Prince Charles. Oh no, is it Prince Charles? Who is the guy? And anyway, whoever he is, they might be moving to Canada. Oh no, it's Prince Harry. And you know what, folks? I don't care. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
The longest impact a president can make on the country is through the federal judges he appoints to the court. After 3 years in office, President Trump has appointed and has confirmed more federal judges than previous presidents in the last few decades. The highest court below the Supreme Court is the Circuit Court. More than a quarter of the U.S. Circuit Court judges are Trump nominees. Let's put this in perspective. President Obama appointed and confirmed 55 circuit court judges by the end of his 8 years in office. Already, President Trump has appointed and confirmed 50 judges to the circuit court benches. The Trump appointments have already flipped three circuit courts to majority Republican-appointed judges. These courts will be hearing significant cases involving a wide range of issues. Remember that very few court cases, probably about 70 or 80, ever reach the Supreme Court. The decisions rendered by these circuit courts establish precedents and have a significant influence in laws and policies. Overall, President Trump has installed a total of 187 federal judges, most of whom are young and will likely serve a very long time. Moreover, most of these judges hold to a belief in originalism, meaning they interpret the Constitution according to its original intent. The editors of the Wall Street Journal explain why this is good. They said a new era of originalism in the court should be good for the law and for the public reputation of the judiciary as a nonpartisan interpreter of the Constitution. Such an era may even be good for progressives who will have to win their arguments the old-fashioned way, via political debate and elections. I agree that this new era will be good for America because it will be based on the proper interpretation of the Constitution. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. Viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
Here's Dan Steiner, president of Preborn, a ministry dedicated to helping save preborn babies from abortion through ultrasound.
I sense God's broken heart over the issue of abortion. You see, he sees every little baby that's being formed in the mother's womb, and it breaks his heart to see when the lifetime that he has planned for them is taken from them violently so often.
Preborn is the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. By letting a mother see her baby on ultrasound and hear her baby's heartbeat, she'll choose life 80% of the time. For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds, and you'll receive a story and a picture of babies whose lives were spared. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
Brian Fisher here. Republicans are getting ready to call Nancy Pelosi's bluff on impeachment. Democrats are completely frosted with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Was the airplane shot down? We'll have the latest details. We'll give you the truth about who's to blame for the catastrophic bushfires in Australia. And it's free-for-all Friday on the phones next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Now, I should really be careful about saying this because, you know, in case I ever become president, I wouldn't want this to interfere with my relationship with the royal family. You know what I mean? Yeah, right. I am anti-monarch. I don't like this stuff. I have no interest in it. I had to look up Prince Harry's title to see who is this guy anyway. But he's actually Prince Harry, Duke of Sussex. And I guess she is Princess Meghan, the Duchess, or Duchess Meghan, or the Duchess of Sussex or something. I don't know. The whole thing to me is silly and stupid and an antiquated, anachronistic relic of a bygone era. And the idea that Americans are enamored of this and all of this, I don't find it romantic. Of course, don't tell my wife because, oh my goodness, so she, you know, my wife will say, it's romantic. Yeah, well, okay, whatever. So I just have no interest in it whatsoever. But I thought I'd bring it up since everybody's talking about the fact that apparently Prince Harry and Princess Meghan may be moving to Canada and setting up their own stream of income. Well, of course, they'll traffic in the fact that they're part of the royal family, whether they're officially part of the royal family or not. I mean, you can't really not be part of the royal family, right? I guess. I don't know. But to me, the whole thing is just, and the idea, folks, that taxpayers in Great Britain spend hundreds of millions of dollars to prop up a bunch of people, the Windsors, I guess they are, right? is to me, oh, Lord, have mercy on us. Oh, I just, you know, when George Washington was young, he would say, he would speak of King George as God's sacred person. You know, he's God's sacred person. But by the time we got close to entering into a Revolutionary War, he was probably just speaking of him as George. You know what I mean? It's like he had no interest whatsoever in honoring his sacred person because he grew up and realized how silly the whole idea is. And I'm with George Washington. Yeah, I think the whole idea is just silly and just needs to be done away with. But obviously, the British have a thing about it, you know? And folks, the number is 888-589-8840. And you can call me and talk about anything that's on your mind today because it is Friday. And we're just going to do open lines and talk about any subject that's on your mind. I just thought I'd bring these matters up before you. But, you know, there is, what was the name of that? I think the movie was called, it'll come to me, but it's a cowboy movie. And, I'm trying to remember now who was the star in this thing, but at any rate, one of the stars was a British actor and I'll have to remember his name, but one of the stars was a British actor. And it was right around the time that Lincoln had been assassinated. And he was making this comment, got him into a fight. He said, no one could assassinate a king. Why, the very thought would make your hand tremble as you attempted to point a pistol at his sacred person. Now, a president... Well, that's something very different. I mean, why would it be an issue to shoot a president? And it just, even though I knew it was film and entertainment, just irked me. That just irked me. And of course, in the film, a big fight broke out over that comment. But yeah, I just think the whole thing is just ridiculous, folks, just ludicrous. All right, the number is 888-589-8840. The only other thing I was going to raise is this. Do you remember when Barack Obama had al-Awlaki droned? He had him killed. I think he was in Yemen at the time, and he had him killed. And do you remember a hue and cry from the mainstream media about the assassination? Because there was no argument even that there was some imminent threat that he was planning. He was simply recruiting people to be Islamic terrorists. And do you remember any outcry by the mainstream media over whether there was anything imminent going on? This was an American citizen assassinated by the president of the United States. And by the way, I agreed with the move because I thought he had become an enemy combatant. He had violated, he had betrayed his country. He had committed treason and he was in a foreign land helping to coordinate attacks against our country. But a legitimate argument could be raised. Should a president ever be allowed to assassinate an American citizen under such circumstances? And if you could do that in a foreign country, could you do it in America? Well, a few conservatives raised the question, but I don't remember the mainstream media being all up in arms and, well, wait, was there an imminent threat? Did you have a real, was this really necessary? And are you precipitating war? No, I didn't hear any of that. The hypocrisy of the left, folks, is just unbelievable. Somebody like Qasem Soleimani, who had committed numerous murders of Americans, had coordinated it, had planned it, had executed it, and was planning imminent attacks against our embassy and against American targets, and suddenly it's a constitutional crisis. You just get so sick of hearing this hypocrisy pour forth from their mouths that you just almost have to turn it off because it's just utterly ridiculous. Okay, let's go to your calls and we'll get as many as we can in. I think we've got room for a time for one or two before the first break or before the next break, I should say. Let's go to Shannon in Arkansas. Shannon, welcome.
Hello, Bishop. How are you today?
I'm blessed, Shannon. How are you?
I am blessed as well, but I am a little bit befuddled. You know, I am a Trump supporter. I just want to say that from jump. But I do not see in my day-to-day life or the day-to-day life of the people all this wonderful economy the Republicans keep talking about. I don't see it in our day-to-day lives.
That's fine. How are things going in your area? So you don't see any increase in business in your area? You don't see any increase in economic activity? Unemployment rates high in your area?
Actually, it is. And the thing is, people want to talk about unemployment, but they don't talk about the people like me who, because I was working as an independent contractor, did not qualify for unemployment. So I would not be counted in the unemployment numbers. They don't talk about the people who have two or three of these wonderful jobs that have been created because they can't make ends meet with the salaries that are being paid, because even though the salaries are higher, the hours have been cut. All these things are not counted when everyone starts talking about this wonderful, great economy we have.
But now, Shannon. But the numbers, either somebody's lying or the numbers don't lie. The numbers show an absolute increase in income. So an increase in income means that people have more expendable income. But apparently where you are or where you live, and I'm not saying this is happening for every single American. We know that's not true. But where you are or where you live, you don't see it happening. But I'll tell you, anecdotally, I've had numerous people tell me how much better their lives are as a result of the increased economic activity and the growth. And I'm sorry you're not experiencing it. But, you know, I mean, sometimes, Shannon, when these things are happening, we have to think about, okay, am I in the right economic position? Do I need to retool? Do I need to rethink what I'm doing and maybe do something different? You know, the economy is fluid and it does change, and not necessarily everything is going to be booming all at once. But that does not belie the fact that overall the economy is doing extremely well. So Shannon, I just hope that you and those around you do better. And I'm not sure what the answer to that is, but I think that's something you all have to talk about and talk to your representatives about and figure out why you aren't experiencing the economic boom that is happening around the rest of us. But thanks for the call, Shannon. We appreciate it. Let's go to, I think we've got time for a quick comment from Gina in Virginia. Gina, welcome. Oops, Gina, sorry about that. Gina, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you today?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm blessed, and I just wanted to tell you, you touched on two little things today that I experienced just in the last week, impeachment and idiots. And I'm on New Year's Eve, I was looking at an article that our local news station had published. It said that Michelle Obama was the most admired person by all Americans. And so I put under the comment, I said, well, that's what's wrong with the world today. They admire the wrong people. They need to turn their adorations more towards Jesus Christ, and the world will be a much better place. Well, at that point, all the Christian bashing came in. I think I'm better than everybody. I'm brainwashed, all this. And then, a Trump supporter. Oh, she's a Trump supporter, too. So this guy puts a picture, and it's a picture of Trump, and it crossed the caption. It said impeached. And so underneath his comment, I put, you are an uneducated idiot. And Facebook came back to me. I suppose he reported me, or I don't know if Facebook did it. I don't know how it happened. But they came back to me an hour later telling me that I had violated community standards for bullying and harassing with my comment, you are an uneducated idiot. This was on New Year's Eve. They therefore put me in Facebook jail for 24 hours. I had told my conservative friends that if this has happened to before, if this happens to me, I'm going off of Facebook.
All right, Gina, I've got to take a break. But Gina, thanks for that report. We appreciate it. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Sometimes as we travel down life's road, the going gets rough. The sailing isn't always smooth on the sea of life. Sometimes it gets kind of bumpy. There are three things we can do in life when the going gets rough. One thing we can do is to resign. And you'd be surprised at the number who take this course of relief. They will lead the parade when the going is easy and smooth and everything is in good order. Yes, sir. They'll strut high and mighty as long as there's a band playing and the streets are lined with folks shouting hoorays. But let difficult times set in, and they are nowhere to be found. Usually those who resign when the going gets rough are those who come in for purely selfish reasons. They only wanted to get something for themselves, not willing to make any sacrifice and not desiring to make the road any smoother. They check out when the going gets rough. Another thing we can do when the going gets rough is to become resigned. Did I pronounce that right? Let me say it again. Another thing we can do when the going gets rough is to become resigned. We can cry and weep while repeating the worn-out phrase. Well, it has always been this way and always will be this way. And I guess if it's left up to them to change matters and make them better, they're right. Things always will be this way, for they certainly aren't going to put forth any sweat to make them better. It takes no great effort to accept things as they are and not try to make them any better. We can become resigned real easy. And a great advantage to this is that we can quit without checking out. We can stay in and do nothing. Seems to be several of those folks around, doesn't it? I said there are three things we can do when the going gets rough. The third thing is this. We can become re-signed. I borrowed some money from the bank once. My note was made out for a year. At the end of the year, I had paid most of the note back, but some of it I had to carry over. A new note was made, and I had to re-sign it. The old signature was no longer any good. Many of us need to get a fresh signature on our credentials. Once I had to go to a notary public to get a paper notarized. I noticed that on the notarization, the notary public had written, "My commission expires on," and it gave a date. You know, perhaps we are operating under an expired commission. Maybe we need to re-sign. When the hard times come, I want God to know He can count on me. He didn't run out on me when the going got rough. He stuck it out, even to the cross. And it would be mighty little on my part if I backed out on Him when the going got rough. I want Him to know He can count on me when the hard times come. When the going gets rough, we can resign, become resigned, or we can re-sign. Those who resign or become resigned never help the cause. Those who re-sign do. Take up your pen and put a fresh signature on the dotted line of life.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. You know, folks, sometimes I think America, as a result of a variety of things, you know, I think about kids needing in college, needing crying rooms before exams and safe spaces and all of this. Forgive the phrase, I'm going to make up a phrase, but the punkification of America. You know, where we're so sensitive and we're so easily offended and our feelings are so easily hurt and you can't say anything to anybody because for Facebook to take the position that saying you're an uneducated idiot is reason to be taken off of Facebook or to be shut down, it, to me, is preposterous. You know, freedom means vigorous debate. And look, as long as we're not calling people nasty names and we're not, you know, using slurs and all of that, let the debate go on. And because if somebody said something like that to me, I would say, here are the facts. And by the way, here's my educational background. So who's the idiot? You know, but I'm not going to crawl off into a corner and go into a fetal position. I can't believe it. Do you know what she said to me? Do you know what he said to me? He called me an uneducated idiot. I mean, is that where we are as a country? I mean, the country in which 17 and 18-year-olds stormed the beaches of Normandy and went and fought the, I think, frankly, one of the most vicious enemies we've ever fought was the Viet Cong. I'm serious because they were stealthy. They were bloodthirsty. Of course, they're totalitarianists. And so human life means nothing to totalitarianists. They just don't care about human life. People are just cogs in a wheel. So, I mean, you know, come on, we need to strengthen ourselves here, you know, stiffen our backbones and have a little bit more ventricular fortitude, intestinal fortitude, and not, you know, this is what these big tech people are encouraging us to be, wimps. I mean, enough, my goodness. And I'm not saying that's, you know, the most polite thing anybody could ever say, but I mean, my goodness gracious, it's not like, and I like a whole lot of stuff that you hear Hollywood say when they get upset with somebody. I mean, to me, that's fairly genteel, you know. But let's get back to the lines. Let's see. We've got, I want to go to who's been waiting the longest. Let's go to Tommy in Ohio. Tommy, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. Let me try and get this straight here. If we tracked the leftists all the way back, I bet they were probably the ones that took JFK out. So moving on, I want to go to commercial airline being shot down in Iran. Now, I believe they had to know that plane was taken off. I think that it was even ordered to take off, and they shot it down because they were letting information out of that country. And I just wonder what you had to say about that, and I'll get off here. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, Tommy. Yeah, well, Lee Harvey Oswald, who shot Kennedy, was a communist and spent time in the Soviet Union. So we know that he was, by our definition, a leftist. Now, what conspiracy was behind that, whether the mafia had anything to do with it and so forth, that is something that God will have to reveal to us in eternity. That's something I tend not to speculate a lot about, or at all about, for that matter. The plane, the Ukrainian plane being shot down in Iran, the suspicious part of this is that Iran is busy cleaning up the debris. And according to air crash experts, you don't clean up the debris. You do clean up, obviously, the human remains, but you don't clean up the debris because it's like a crime scene. And what you want to be able to do from the debris is reconstruct what actually happened, the nature of the explosion, what may have caused the explosion, how the plane exploded, where, you know, the trajectory of the debris, and all of that kind of stuff. You want to get all of that calculated. You can't if you remove it from the crime scene. So you remove it from the scene of the crash. So you take pictures and you leave it there. And Iran is not doing that. They are getting rid of it. They are moving it. And that, to me, smacks of guilt. And we will see. Now, I'll go no further than that because we don't know. But here again, why would you do that if you're not trying to cover something up? Okay, let's go to Stephen in Tennessee. Stephen, welcome.
Hello?
Yes, Stephen, you're on.
Okay, I was just calling because on one of the other radio, I mean, on the same radio station, but another show.
Okay.
Talking about the penal system and the reform and how that it's creating havoc and some sort. But I wanted to make the comment that I think that we should go back to some of the old school things where a young fellow may or a person may get into some kind of trouble. Instead of locking them up, give them a choice. you can go to prison or you can join the army and or you can join the military. And I think that would stop a lot of people in their on their path of destruction mm-hmm. and move them towards being more responsible, things like that.
Okay. All right. Well, Stephen, look, I think in some cases that's probably a very worthwhile suggestion. And, of course, it depends upon the nature of the crime, of course. But look, there's no question that I wasn't a criminal or anything, but there's no question that joining the Marine Corps for me, and I've talked to a lot of people who have served in the military in various branches, I say I went in a boy. I came out a man. It matured me. It gave me a sense of direction. It disciplined me. It helped me to appreciate the sacrifices that people make for our country. So it was a very, very good experience for me. So you're right. I mean, I think in some cases it might be just what the doctor ordered. Now, what the legal ramifications are of all of that and whether that would pass muster constitutionally in these days or the ACLU is another matter. But I think the suggestion is certainly one that is worthy of consideration. That's for sure. Let's go to William in Oklahoma. William, you're on.
Hello.
Yes, William, you're on. Welcome.
Yeah. All right. All right. Thank you for taking my call. I just had an observation about Omar's statement that she made that she felt sick or that she felt like she had post-traumatic syndrome. And I was just wondering, has anybody observed that you would feel that way when a terrorist was, you know, taken out? And also when she made the statement that they asked about the 9/11 and she said it was some people did something that she couldn't. So, I mean, it did seem like to me that she's not assimilating with America at all, as plus the wanting to boycott Israel. I think that it tells me something. Why should she be so paranoid, you know, after a terrorist mm-hmm. gets shot? And that was my observation.
Well, William, you took the words right out of my mouth, and thank you for the call. You know, she dismissed the deaths of almost 3,000 human beings, most of whom were Americans. I think there might have been some non-citizens in that group too, but she dismissed those deaths, the murders of those people. Somebody did something, she called it. Somebody did something. And then went on to focus on, and as a result of that, people are not, they don't like Muslims and they're not treating Muslims right. And as she said when she first came to this country, how does she put it? She said, I didn't know what it was to be other until I got here. And so you're right. So now you're all worked up because a vicious, bloodthirsty terrorist was killed. I think she ought to go live where that terrorist lives. Back in a moment.
I think every child is here for a purpose. Every child has a calling on their life.
What special plan does God have for your children? Here's Jan Foreman on Focus on the Family Minute.
And it may not be some of the more obvious niches that our culture defines as success. It may be that they are skilled, you know, relationally, and they have a compassionate heart. I think that's why it's important to expose your kids to as many things as possible. You don't know what's going to stick. Maybe they're interested in that because their buddy was, but it's really not their heart or their gifting. But I really, really believe that within every child is a calling of God in their life. So I would say just continue to walk with them in some of the more unusual venues to help them find what it is that God has put them here on this earth for.
More from Jan and Mark Foreman today at FamilyMinute.org.
America has been called the greatest nation in the history of the world, but we're certainly not perfect. Here's AFA stand blogger Will Addison.
Prosperity is a blessing, but it can cause us to be lulled to sleep because we're so comfortable.
Read America the Prosperous and other compelling articles at afa.net/thestand. Add your comments and join the conversation. Visit afa.net/thestand.
AFR's own J.J. Jasper is a morning on-air personality, author, comedian, Christian, and family man. J.J.'s also a keynote speaker at banquets, men's ministry events, pregnancy center fundraisers, and more.
This is Penny Weaver from Decatur, Illinois. Last year, we had the privilege of J.J. Jasper as our speaker. We had our largest fundraising banquet ever.
Information on JJ's availability to speak at your event is at jjjasper.com.
The hand of providence. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. That's what George Washington, the father of our country, called God's work in our country, the hand of providence. It is amazing and astounding, the stories that go on and on and on about how the Lord intervened to create the United States of America as a very special place on the globe. We're going to see all this history, as much as we can at least, in Jamestown, Yorktown, and Williamsburg. That's in Virginia. And then we're also going to Washington, D.C., and George Washington's Mount Vernon Estate. We're going to do this in June and September, and you can join us by finding out all the information at spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com. We hope to see you then.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. The number is 888-589-8840. Let's go back to your calls. Let's go to Bruce in Oklahoma. Bruce, welcome. Oh, and by the way, Bruce, just before you speak, I said Omar ought to go live where that terrorist lives. And I caught myself at the end. I thought, well, that would be hell. You know, 'cause that's where he's now. He's in hell. That was not intentional, but let's consider that a Freudian slip. Okay, Bruce, you're on.
Yes, that was not very nice, Mr. Bishop. I really enjoy your program and all of the AFR programming. What I would like to say is that to all those listeners out there who accuse you of judging people, they're showing you who they are. You're not judging them. You're just reading between the lines and telling us who they really are.
That's right. The facts, right? The facts speak for themselves.
No political correctness here. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Bruce. And folks, that's people misunderstand what the Bible says when it says, you know, judge not lest you be not judged. What it means is don't make final and ultimate judgments about the fate of people, whether they go to heaven or hell, because you really don't know. Because every one of us, I know I was once hell bound. But Jesus Christ came into my life and changed me on the inside. And as that old song says, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, who gave his son my soul to save and fit it for the sky, to serve the present age my calling to fulfill, oh, made all my powers engaged to do my master's will. That was not always the case for me. And so somebody could have looked at me at a point in my life and said, oh, you're going to hell. Well, no, I'm not, actually. But it doesn't mean don't judge the difference between good and evil. Of course you have to make that judgment. In fact, Jesus told us to do that. He said, don't judge by appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So of course you have to do that. So people get all confused about that. So that's just a biblical misunderstanding in some cases and an outright twisting of scripture in another. Let's go to Lynn in Arkansas. Lynn, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to talk about people who get offended. And there's somebody in my family that's young, and there's a doctrinal thing in the church they're going to. They're in college, and that I said I didn't believe was right or biblical, basically. And so I'm going to write them a letter, but you know, I want to keep the doors open, of course. I don't want to, you know, be critical. But what I want to say is that it's like my religion. It's not my religion, it's God. So if something is in the Bible, it's God's truth, not, you know,
amen.
Not right. A personal truth. So that's one thing I want to mention to her. And I was at a Bible study one time, and somebody asked where this woman was from, and she said she was from, it was kind of a desolate place in Texas, and they said, oh, that's the armpit of the nation. And the lady got really offended, and I thought, you know, it doesn't really matter what somebody thinks about where you live or whatever, you know, let them think what they want. But, I mean, that was kind of, I guess, rude, but... but the important thing, you know.
Well, look, so. We're not, thank you for the call in. We're not trying to offend people or hurt people. Actually, sometimes, you know, I think one of the best things that can happen to people is that they get offended or hurt, because if it causes them to wake up and see things more clearly, you've really done them a favor. So this idea that, you know, you've got to always soft pedal and you always get, you know, soft soap things, I think is just wrong. Jesus didn't do that. I mean, he called the scribes and Pharisees whited sepulchers, and, you know, in other words, whitewashed coffins full of dead men's bones and all corruption. He said, how can any of you escape damnation? I mean, he didn't mince words, because he knew they were so caught up in their own selfish, self-aggrandizing lifestyle that they could not see or did not care to see the righteousness of God standing right in front of them. And sadly, that's where the left is right now. They've got self-righteousness, but not God's righteousness. Okay, let's go to Kenny of Oklahoma. Kenny, welcome.
Good to speak with you again, Bishop. I praise God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We will never vote for a Democrat, and we better hope and pray that we do not get a Democrat president. Yes, we want to see President Trump reelected, absolutely. But with that said, Bishop, I'm so concerned that President Trump and other Republican leaders, and of course pastors also and parents, I see a lack of concern about the most grievous sin in the land, and that is our precious little children being indoctrinated in the public schools by the homosexual transgender perversion movement. So we just really need to pray sincerely and fervently for our nation, Bishop.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. God bless you too, Kenny. Thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Gina in Texas. Gina, welcome. Gina, you're on. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Bishop. I just love your show. It's interesting that a former Democratic president came up, and while you were talking about or heard the lady criticize the way sometimes you criticize or other people, I agree with you that things need to be judged correctly, and what came to mind was plain-speaking Harry Truman. The buck stops here. Mm-hmm. Called plain-speaking. I love it. I wanted to ask, Bishop, about the internet. I mean, now we have this global problem with cyber terrorism, which could be very dangerous. And during the previous administration, unfortunately, we lost control of the internet, or at least it wasn't strategically located in the U.S. anymore. Do we have any update on that?
I don't offhand. So that's something I will look into for you. I know that it never happened, even though the Obama administration proposed sort of offloading the internet and turning it into some sort of internationally controlled utility, so to speak, which, again, was one of the dumbest ideas I ever heard in my life. Why in the world, with China stealing our technology and with the whole idea of cyber warfare being a major problem, which I think is going to grow in the future, why in the world would we begin to share our internet technology with people who are out to destroy us. But here again, that's the way the Obama administration thought, unfortunately. I mean, they I don't know whether they were pie in the sky or they were just so. If somebody mentioned Michelle Obama earlier and said and talked about the fact that, you know, this guy said, you know, we should admire people like Michelle Obama. Well, I don't admire Michelle Obama because, to me, Michelle Obama and her husband are anti-American. They are anti-freedom. They are anti-Constitution. And they've said, and this is not just Bishop Jackson, just lobbing broadside attacks against them. They said things that gave us the right, in fact, compelled us to reach those conclusions. And so why would I admire somebody who hates or certainly does not respect or love or have affection for or is willing to defend the country that I love? I'm not, you're not going to be somebody I admire. I mean, I'll tolerate you, but I'm not going to. So, you know, but, you know, here again, it's a black man. You've got to support the black president. No, I don't. No, I support people on the basis of their principles, not on the basis of their skin color. So sometimes people don't, if you don't directly confront them with these truths, then they are allowed to stay in their own little cocoon of delusion. Oh, you don't like Barack Obama because he's black and it's racism. No, it's not. It's his ideas and his policies that people didn't like. And I was certainly one of those people. Wow. Thank you all for the lines are full. Let's see. Let's try to get as much here as we can. Let's go to Brad in Kansas. Brad, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. How about you?
First time caller, what kind of prize do I win? Just the honor of talking with you?
Yes, sir. That's all I can give you today.
Anyway, let's get to that because you're low on time. The movie you were referring to earlier about the shooting of a president or a royalty, whatever, that was a Clint Eastwood movie by the name of Unforgiven. That was a very good movie. Anyway, just wanted to let you know that.
Well, I appreciate it. I think actually I was thinking of another movie, but I still don't have it. But I thank you for that suggestion. I'll check that out.
Okay. I have a couple more things here. I come up with a new bumper sticker. It's simply going to say, Satan is a Democrat. Would you agree with that?
Well, listen, yes, I would agree that he is a Democrat. The only thing is, he is a destroyer, and the Democrat Party better come to understand that having him as an ally ultimately means self-destruction. So thanks for the call, Brad. Let's see if we can get one more in here. Wesley from Georgia, I think you're going to be our last one. Wesley, you're on.
Hey, Bishop, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say, you know, Jesus calls us to be the salt and the salt, when applied to a wound, it stings at first, of course.
It does. It does. Well, with that music, Wesley, I think that's going to be the last thought of our callers for the day, but I do appreciate that thought. By the way, the movie that I was referring to, I don't have the name of the movie, but the star was Richard Harris, and I just haven't gotten to the name of the movie yet. But folks, listen, you all enjoy your weekend, okay? And thank you all for being such loyal supporters of this network and for listening to my program. I really appreciate it. God bless each and every one of you. Love you. And you all have a wonderful weekend. And remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.